Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see everyone. I didn't get a chance to preach last week. I was kind of injured. I'm still a little kind of banged up. So, but I always miss being able to preach. I'm really glad am I on? Yes? No? No, I'm not on? Check, check. Am I on? Okay, good. And something kind of happened this week, which was very interesting. I'll let you kind of into kind of peek behind the curtains. I was trying to decide what to preach on this week because we're actually up until, I think for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a little bit of a hodgepodge. We just finished up the series through the letter of James, and we're going to be starting up a new series beginning of December that'll kind of get us into the Advent and up to Christmas. And this week I was trying to figure out, like, what am I going to preach on? And so I kind of knew that I wanted to read something in the Psalms and, you know, see if I could use something because those are nice one-offs. And I read Psalm 41, and I didn't really kind of fully get what the psalmist was getting to, but I loved the very end of it where verse 12, he says, "You have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever." And so beginning of the week, this is one of those I kind of held on to. I said, you know, I really want to study this. I really want to, you know, look at this. And I want to preach about a God who upholds people, who strengthens us, who pulls us together in times where we feel like we're falling apart. And what's interesting is when I got towards the end of the week, as I was studying and reading, I began to realize the psalm is actually about sickness, which fits me perfectly. And I began to realize that as a church and as churches, we really don't have a theological understanding of sickness. I mean, typically when we talk about sickness within the church, there's two ways that we talk about it. And both are relatively unhealthy. One of them is we talk about sickness, but we talk about sickness in light of the fact that God heals. You know, so there's some churches that emphasize that a lot. They have healing services. They talk about the fact that, you know, God has the power to heal, and that if you're sick, you know, you can go to God and there is healing in God's hands, that you can ask the elders to lay hands and there's healing in that. And that is absolutely true. But what all of us know is that it doesn't happen very often. And maybe that's lack of faith. Maybe that's other things. But, you know, it's I think it's a very shallow way of understanding sickness. The other way we understand sickness, and unfortunately I've heard people talk about this or espouse this theory, is they basically say sickness is the result of sin. And I've heard some terrible things said to people who are in the midst of terrible sicknesses where believers have gone to them, people that they think are friends, and they say, you know, the reason why you're sick is because you're sinning. Stop your sin, stop your unbelief, stop your wrong beliefs, and God will heal you. And again, that's a very unhealthy, unproductive, and a very shallow view of sin. A shallow view of sickness. And so as I was reading this, what I kind of realized is that, number one, the Bible is amazing because it touches on every possible situation you and I will ever experience in life. There is nothing that does not go under God's care. There is nothing that is too mundane or ordinary or unimportant that God doesn't have something to say about it. Now, at the same time, I think the other thing that I came to realize is that we really don't talk about it very often. You know, we talk about sin a lot, but we need to talk about sickness, how God works in the midst of our sickness. And you might not be there. You know, maybe I'm the only one in the room who's there, but all of us will be there. You know, all of us will get to stages where we feel our bodies falling apart, you know, where we find out that there is disease, there is death awaiting for us. And in those moments, you need to know what the Bible has to say, how God addresses you and your sickness in the midst of that. So that's really what I wanted to address today. And, you know, maybe it's self-serving because I'm in a period of sickness. And so maybe this was just me helping myself. If it is, then just humor me and, you know, smile and nod your head, say, "Great, Pastor Young, I'll use that later." But I think for all of us, again, I think we need to understand how God redeems, how God is in even our sickness. What we have before us in Psalm 41 is we have what's called a lament, which is a psalm of sorrow. It's a psalm of grief. And the reason why he's in grief, the reason why he's experiencing sorrow, is because he's suffering from illness. We don't know what the illness is, but we do know it's relatively serious. It's not, you know, the sniffles, or it's not the flu, or it's not, you know, something along those lines. We know it's relatively serious because in the beginning of the psalm, what he's doing is he's going to the temple, he's going to the priest, and he's asking for prayer, he's looking for healing. So it's something relatively major, it's something serious, and he's going, you know, to God, to the temple, to the priest, wanting to address it, wanting to deal with it. So as we go through this passage, I think what the psalm shows us and what we'll kind of walk through is we'll first see the need in our sickness, that in our sickness there's a need that comes out, there's something that God is doing in the midst of being sick. Second thing we'll see is we'll see the suffering in our sickness, that sickness leads to different types of suffering that are very unique. Third thing that we'll see is we'll see how God redeems our sickness, how God turns sickness into something good in his hands. So those are the three things: the need in our sickness, the suffering in our sickness, and the redemption of our sickness. So first, the need in our sickness. Let's go to verses 1 through 4. And again, the psalmist opens up. He says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on a sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Now, you know, again, we're addressing this issue of sickness. And sickness is actually very interesting. When you think about it theologically, sickness is unnatural. And immediately you go, what? You know, it's not unnatural at all. It's natural. I mean, people get sick all the time, right? I mean, my kids get sick. When you get older, you start getting these sicknesses, cancer, you know, debilitating diseases. Sickness is absolutely natural. The Bible actually tells us that it's not, that sickness was never a part of God's plan. You know, when God fashioned and shaped the world, when he put his people on the world, it was perfect. That there was supposed to be no sickness, there was not supposed to be death. And what we have is we live in an alternate reality. We live in an alternate world where things aren't perfect. You know, we live in a world that is fallen, where we are constantly subjected to both sin and sickness because death is on the horizon. And again, that's a depressing thing to think about, but that's what sickness is. Sickness is basically the intrusion of death periodically from time to time throughout our lives. It's a reminder that we are heading off to death. You know, it's a reminder that we are not going to last. And in that sense, it's absolutely unnatural. And so again, what we have here is we have this man in this psalm who's fallen ill, and again, it's relatively serious, and he goes to the temple for prayer and for healing. And what's interesting is he understands something about his sickness that you and I tend to forget. You know, he understands that sickness falls under God's care too, right? I mean, he finds out that he's sick, so he goes to the temple, he seeks prayer, he seeks healing. Now, I say that, and what I mean is, I don't mean that the next time you're sick, don't call 911, don't call your doctor, you know, come to the church, that kind of thing. I'm not saying that, but I am saying there's a sense in which, if you notice, for the psalmist, his sickness leads him to God. And that's a very, very important point to make. You know, the sickness is serious, and what he realizes is that ultimately it is only God who can help him. That was true then, in a time where medicine wasn't formed, where, you know, science wasn't where it is, but it is absolutely true today too. We might live in a different culture, different standards, different scientific abilities, but sickness tells us the same thing. And you know, for you and I, unfortunately, our knee-jerk reaction when we feel sick, when we get sick, when things look serious, is we look to doctors, we look to nurses, we look to YouTube, we look to medicine. And those things are important, but ultimately, sickness is meant to remind us that we are people who need Christ. And that's ultimately what it's about. And the psalmist gets that. He feels sick and it drives him to God. For you and I, we live in a scientific age, but our sickness is still meant to do that. In our sickness, Our sickness is meant to drive us to God. You know, in our sickness reminds us of the fact, it reveals the fact that we need Christ. It reminds us that we are weak, that we are mortal, that we are fallen. And what sickness does in a very unique way is sickness gives us a physical picture of a spiritual reality, right? I mean, think about that for a second. What it does is it gives us this physical picture, right? They can take an x-ray, they can show things that are wrong with us. And it's actually, it's a metaphor for what is spiritually going on in our hearts. You know, that we are people who are sick, who are in need of healing, who need help, who ultimately need Christ. And you know, when you don't realize that, then in your sickness you do look for doctors, you look for medicines, you look for cures, and you don't look for God. It doesn't drive you into a spiritual state. It doesn't move you closer to God. And for the psalmist, what it does is it leads him directly to the temple. It leads him directly to God. You know, one of the things that I realized when my dad was in the process of passing away was, and I don't know how many of you have had this experience with your parents or with family friends or relatives, but I remember when my father was sick, there was a stage where, you know, part of the question was, what could make him better? What could make him feel better? And I remember, you know, one of the questions that came up for me and my brother, who's also a believer, and my mom, was not just that question of what kind of medicine can we give him, what kind of care can we give, but this other question came up, which is very, very important, which was, how can God meet him in his sickness? How can God meet him in his need? How can God meet him? How can God make a difference for him? And, you know, even though I really can't say with any definitiveness what happened towards the end of his life, whether, you know, he experienced a saving experience with the Lord or not, it's interesting that for us, you know, that was the biggest question for a little while was, can God meet him here? Because that's what he really needs. I mean, his body is broken. His physical, you know, it's disintegrating. But he needs God. And you know, that's what our sickness keeps telling us. Our sickness keeps telling us that we're weak, that we can't go on our own, and we can pretend, we can ignore those facts when we're healthy. We can pretend that we have everything together, that everything works well, that we can set our lives up right, that we can take care of ourselves. But the moment we feel sick, you begin to realize that all of it unravels, that you need someone else. And you see, that's what God has it there for. It's there because it's meant to show us and remind us that we need God. You know, even the small stuff can do that, right? I mean, I don't know how you are. Like, for me, when I get sick with any kind of sickness, I become a big baby, you know? I start calling for Grace. Grace, can you help me? I'm so hot. Or can you get this for me? And, you know, like, outside of that, if I'm healthy, I want to pretend, you know, I think that I can take care of everything, that I'm strong. The moment any type of sickness hits, you begin to realize how weak you are. And like I said, that's a picture of what's going on truly inside of our hearts. You know, that we are people who are, at the very core, spiritually, we are weak. And that we need someone, we need a Savior to come and rescue us. So there's power in that. There's power in that. That's the first thing we see, is we see that there's need in our sickness. And if you understand that in your experience of sickness, it can actually point you and push you towards God. Second thing that I think the psalmist brings out is that there's suffering in our sickness. Verse 4 through 9, this is what he says. The psalmist says, "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words. While his heart gathers iniquity, when he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Now, kind of what's happening is, you know, the psalmist has gone to the temple. He sought prayers, and he begins to pray. And what he begins to pour out to God is his lament, the fact that his sickness has brought all these different sufferings into his life. You know, there's a problem. In Old Testament times, you know, people's experience of sickness was vastly different than ours. You know, they didn't have access to doctors, to medical care the way that we do. And for the psalmist, he's expressing the fact that his experience of sickness is leading to suffering. It has, you know, in the midst of sickness, he's suffering. You know, some of it, obviously, there's physical suffering, and he's not talking about that. There's emotional suffering, and he's talking, you know, some about that. He brings up kind of relational issues. And if you notice, here's his suffering. He's actually suffering in two different ways. The first one, he says this. He says, I'm sick, and because of my sickness, my enemies are delighting in my possible demise. In other words, you know, if you notice, what he's saying is, he's saying, all these people who hate me are wishing that I was dead. They're rubbing their hands together, waiting for me to pass away. Now, hopefully that's not happening to you. You know, when you're sick, hopefully you don't have enemies that are, you know, saying, you know, boy, I can't wait for this guy to kick the bucket. You know, if you are in that situation, come and talk to me and we'll kind of deal with that together. But hopefully you're never in a situation where your enemies are kind of, you know, pushing you towards death. But the other part, I think, is something that that we experience. You know, he says his enemies are delighting and waiting for his demise. It says the second thing that's happening is even his friends are deserting him. And you know, it's very interesting. You know, in the ancient Near East, obviously they didn't have the same level of understanding of science and of medicine and, you know, of the body. Not that they were all idiots and, you know, those types of things. I mean, they understood how to cure certain things. They knew what certain diseases were. I mean, you know, they weren't completely ignorant of those things. But at the same time, because there was a lot they didn't understand, there was fear. And when people got sick in certain ways, they didn't always know what it was or why it was or whether it was something that was communicable. And so you could understand that with certain types of serious illnesses, I mean, those people would end up being isolated and alone. And you know, in a lot of the same way, I mean, that's the worst part of sickness. In the midst of sickness, you can find yourself completely alone. You know, that's still one of the things that we suffer with today. You know, sickness leads to suffering, and one of the sufferings that we experience is we experience an isolation, we experience an aloneness. That even when we have well-meaning friends, sometimes we still feel all alone, and it's absolutely debilitating. I haven't had to do too many hospital visits, and I'm gracious to God that you know, that I haven't been in ministries where I've seen lots of people pass away. But the handful of times I've gone to the hospital to visit people, I mean, it's depressing, isn't it? I mean, for the person who's sick, they have nothing they can do. They're essentially laying in bed for most of the day. You can come in for the small sliver of time, and when you do, I think most people want to get in, you know, talk a little bit and leave. I mean, it's incredibly isolating. You know, that's one of the reasons why I my wife and I have talked about how, you know, through our kids and through our experiences with hospitals, we talk about the fact that we see so much more how important nurses are. You know, because doctors kind of zip in, they have a couple of things to say, they leave. Nurses are the ones who come in, they get to care, they get to do ministry, they get to, you know, to encourage those who are sick. But you know, isolation's a powerful thing. You know, in sickness you feel all alone. And even when people are there, you still don't feel like you're connected. There was actually a girl in one of my youth groups years and years and years ago. I had just gotten to this church, my first church up in Connecticut, and started doing youth group ministry there. Met this family who had been at the church for a long time, and never met the daughter at the church because she was she had leukemia, and so from about the year before I had gotten there, she'd been in the hospital. And so actually the first time I met her was about 3 months after I got into the church, and the first time I met her was going up to close to Massachusetts and going to her hospital and spending about 2 hours with her. And it was the first time I ever did anything like that. I'd never known anyone who was, who was in a situation like that. And I still remember kind of, I remember exactly what the hospital room looked like. I remember walking in, went in with two other youth group students who knew her, and you know, we all wanted to see her and encourage her. And you know, the minute we walked in, I mean, her face just lit up. And in the short time we were there, I mean, it was so much fun, you know, getting to talk to her, getting to know her. But after leaving, you know, I began to realize that, you know, here was someone who's basically all alone in her suffering. You know, that even when we came to say hi and to, you know, to offer help or to pray with her, even when people were there, she would realize that she is the only one going through this. And you know, for us, there was really no, I kept asking myself, like, how do we break through that? How do we help someone who's hurting like that? And I've never come up with an answer, but it's reminded me that there is just, that the Bible isn't just about sin. That God isn't just a God who deals with sin. And that there's sickness. And that God meets us even in our sickness. But it just reminded me how powerful, you know, sickness plays into our hearts. That sickness leads us to a place of despair and loneliness. And if we're not careful, you know, those things become absolutely debilitating. That there's real suffering in the midst of dealing with sickness. Now, we can't end there. The third point is the redemption of our sickness. And basically what I mean is this. How does God turn our experience of sickness into something good? And you know, the immediate answer is, well, God heals it. Again, that's a shallow answer. If that's how God redeems it, then God doesn't redeem sickness very often, because God doesn't do it very often, does he? I mean, all of us have known plenty of people who are sick that we prayed for them to be healed. God didn't do anything. Does that mean God doesn't do anything with sickness? God doesn't redeem it. God doesn't do... No, absolutely not. The Bible tells us that God redeems even sickness. You know, and what I mean by that, when I say that God redeems it, what I mean is that he turns something that's bad into something that's good. I've used this illustration. My wife gave me this one years and years ago. I was trying to figure out, how do I describe what redemption is? And she said, it's banana bread. That's basically what it is. You take bad bananas, you put them into this thing, you cook it, and they become good again. That's God redeeming. So how does God turn sickness into banana bread, right? How does he make it good? I think what this passage shows us is God does. Go into verse 10, and it's very unique how he does. Go into verse 10, and the psalmist says this. He says, but you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. You have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now, so again, we start at the very beginning of the psalm. We have a man who comes into the temple sick and suffering. He's looking for prayer. He's looking for healing. By the end of the psalm, he leaves rejoicing, worshiping God. Right? If you go beginning to end, huge change. Comes in sick. I need help. Please pray for me. I want to be healed. At the end, praise God, right? It's complete change. Now, the question is this. Was he healed? There are some commentators who say, yes, he was healed, and that's why we see this shift happen. I would argue and say no, and the reason why is because we're not told anything in the text. Nothing in the text says that God changes, you know, his body, and now he walks away completely free from whatever disease it was, whatever infirmity it was. We're never told any of that. And again, I think if the psalm is about healing, and if God is showing that redemption is that God takes sickness and heals it, why doesn't he do it more often now? No, I think what the psalm is about is God turning our sickness into something good, and he does it in a way that's actually bigger and better and more powerful than healing. Now, I want you to hear this. When you look at what happens to the man at the end, three things happen to him. Okay, in the last couple of verses, three things happen. And what these three things are, I'll tell you in a second, but these three things turn his sickness into joy. That turns his sorrow, his lament, into worship. These three things redeem his suffering. They redeem his sickness. What are the three things? If you go into verse 11, what does he say? By this I know that you delight in me. The man comes in sick and sorrowful. He comes debilitated because he feels all alone. And in the midst of praying in the temple, what happens? He remembers. He remembers that God loves him. And you know, that's one of the things you forget in the midst of sickness, right? You begin to feel as if God isn't there. Or maybe God is cursing you. And what this man does is he goes to the temple, he talks to the priest, he gets on his knees, he begins to pray, and immediately in his prayer, he remembers the smile of God in his life. You know, the word that I love in there, he says, by this I know you delight in me. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? You know, sometimes we talk about the fact that God loves us, and love begins to take on this mushy, kind of formless, shapeless thing. But he uses this word that's so evocative. He says, by this I know you delight in me. I mean, he goes in depressed, and he prays, and he realizes that God loves him dearly, desperately. I mean, that's an amazing thing that happens. You know, the sickness has this incredible power to darken. It darkens our day, it darkens our outlook, it eventually darkens our heart. But in the midst of his sickness, what happens? God meets him. And when God meets him and reminds him of his love, the darkness dissipates. Right? That's the first thing that happens to him. Second thing that happens to him is this. Verse 12, he says what? He says, but you have upheld me because of my integrity. What does it mean to be upheld? Well, it means that God is supporting him. He's holding him together. And basically for the psalmist, he comes in and he says, in my sickness, I was weak. But as I met you, I found your strength. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, sickness has this incredible power to sap our strength. Not just our physical strength, but our emotional strength. You know, our will to live, our will to go on. And what this man says is he says, in his prayer he has met God, and in meeting God, God has given him the strength that he needs. God has pulled him back together. God has filled his heart and his body with a strength that is supernatural, and now he feels like he can take on the world again. And then a third thing happens. If you look at verse 12 again, he says, you have upheld me because of my integrity. And then he finishes off this. He says, and you have set me in your presence forever. I told you that one of the greatest sufferings that comes with sickness is the suffering of being alone, of feeling alone. And what does he say here at the end? He says at the end, I know I am not alone. He says, I know that I am in your presence. I mean, that's an incredible thing, isn't it? He walks in feeling as if no one loves him, no one cares about him, his enemies are against him, his friends have deserted him, and by the end of his prayer, what does he say? Lord, I know you will never leave me. Though my enemies mock me, though my friends desert me, you will never leave me. And you know, when you think about that, this man came to the temple wanting to be healed, and instead, he found God's love, God's strength, and God's presence. That's a pretty good trade-off. That's a pretty good trade-off. You know, for you and I, in our sickness, when we go to God, God will redeem it. And that's not a promise that God will heal you, that somehow miraculously, if the elders come and lay their hands on you, or if you pray with such a faith that is so pure and so clear that whatever disease will leave you, that's not a promise of those things. The promise of God is that in your sickness, you will find something better. And the something that you will find that is better, that is deeper, that is stronger, is Christ. Now, let me close and ask this question. How can I know that? How can I be? How can you know that? How can you be confident about that? I want you to go to verse 4, and there's actually this really interesting little phrase here that I want to make sure you don't misunderstand. In verse 4, the psalmist says, "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Now, that can be misunderstood in a lot of ways. And again, people can take that to say, see, all sickness is sin. If you are sick, it means that you're sinning. If you're sick, it means you need to repent. If you repent, if you're healed, if you stop sinning, then you'll be healed of that. And the reason why I can be so emphatic and say that's not what it's saying is because when you look at Jesus, there are times where Jesus healed people and he said, it's not because of sin, right? Now, what the psalmist is doing, though, is he's saying that sin and sickness do have a connection, but it's not that connection. It's not that if you're a sinner, you're going to get sick, or if you're sick, it's because you're sinning. But what he's saying is that they are connected. And it's what I mentioned in the beginning. Sickness is a physical picture of what sin looks like. And you know, that's one of the reasons why in the Old Testament and the New Testament, sin and sickness are kind of mingled together a lot of times. But what Jesus wants us to understand is that sickness points us, just like sin should, points us to the fact that there is a true healing coming, and that is Christ. That one day, because of what he has done, our souls and our bodies will finally be right. Let me ask you to turn to this passage with me, and we're going to close with this. But if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to listen to the way that sin and sickness are kind of intertwined in this beautiful passage. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25. The Apostle Peter says this about Jesus. He says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." You see how he does that? He says, Jesus is taking care of your sin, right? Sin, and he has healed you. And you see, what the Bible does in the Old and New Testament is it meshes these two ideas together. Why? Because again, how do you know that God will, how can you be confident that God will redeem it? You can be confident because Jesus died for your sins. You know, the amazing thing here is he says that by his wounds, we have been healed. Now, that's a very powerful thing. He doesn't say by his wounds, you have been saved. It says by his wounds, you have been healed. You know, in your sickness is meant to push you, just like all these other things, to Christ. And in Christ, even though it's a physical ailment, a physical sickness, your body falling apart, even in those things, you will realize that the help and the hope you truly need is Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we take a moment and we want to pray for those who are experiencing sickness in our congregation and sickness in people who are connected to us, friends, family, coworkers. And Lord, we do pray for healing in those moments of sickness. But we also ask you to help us to pray for other things too. Lord, in the midst of their sickness, in the midst of our sickness, help us to see that our sickness is meant to drive us, to draw us, to push us towards you, to show us the physical reality and the spiritual reality behind our struggles, and to push us to Christ, who has died for our sins, and that one day, because of that, we will experience a full healing. And Lord, in that, we know that one day there will be no more sin. We know that there will be no more sickness. that one day all will be right with the world again, just as you planned. And Lord, we long and we pray for the day. But Lord, today all of us need Christ. Lord, for some of us, we've forgotten the fact that that you delight in us. And Lord, for those who have forgotten that, remind us that you love us, that you cherish us, that you delight in us. Lord, for those who feel weak, Lord, I pray that you remind them that you are the God who upholds, the God who strengthens, the God who pulls together, that in their weakness, they can find strength in you. And for those who feel isolated, who feel lost, Lord, show them that you are forever their friend. Lord, that they will sit in your presence, never alone, never by themselves, always with you. And Lord, may those things be far more powerful, far more meaningful in our moments of need. And in those things, may we see how beautiful our salvation is. Lord, thank you again for being a God who comes and who deals with every situation of life, who meets his people where they are, and who loves them to health, to healing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.